This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. Yesterday, a federal appeals court issued a decision that created a snag for the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. The Richmond-based Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals invalidated a federal review of the pipeline, and opponents say that decision should halt construction, but the company behind the pipeline vows to move forward anyway. Robert Zullo is a reporter with the Richmond Times-Dispatch and joins us now. Welcome, Robert.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us about this decision yesterday. What did the court say?
The court invalidated what's known as an incidental take statement prepared by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service as part of its biological opinion on the project. This is a statement that kind of sets out the parameters for the killing or harming of threatened and endangered species along the pipeline route. And the opponents of this project would argue and have argued in a letter to FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission that went out yesterday, that this should require FERC to halt or suspend all notices to proceed that the pipeline has received up to this point.
All right, so you've got, again, one of the many permissions and reports that you would need to move forward with a project like this, this one from the Fish and Wildlife, the Federal Fish and Wildlife Department, and it said go ahead, but the court said, I'm sorry, this report isn't good enough. What fault did the court find with that report?
Well, this was challenged by the Sierra Club and some other environmental groups and argued by the Southern Environmental Law Center. And the hole that they kind of poked in this was that the limits that the statement set were so vague that they couldn't be enforced. In fact, the court's direct language was that they undermined the incidental take statement's enforcement and monitoring function. So in some cases, some of the species that we're talking about here, there's the Roanoke log perch, which is a small freshwater fish. They did set specific limits for how many of those could be taken, five. They said five fish through injury and death and 100 through harm or harassment. But for other species like bats, their mussels, there's the rusty patched bumblebee, they just set a small percent. And the argument was that if you have a small percent of an unknown whole, you really don't know what's allowed to be taken and what isn't.
And, of course, what they're looking at here is that these are endangered species. You've got a big project here that's going to change the environment. What can we expect in terms of the loss of these endangered species? And will the loss be small enough to allow this project to go forward? And according to this statement, this opinion, yeah, it will. But as you say, in some cases, there were specific numbers set. We think this number will be lost. And in other cases, percentages, and that's what the court said, not specific enough.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So it sounds like that should stop the project. In other words, you don't have one of the documents you need to go forward. The company says, not really, we're going to keep moving. What's the basis of that decision?
Well, the ultimate arbiter of this is FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. I've reached out to them this morning, as I imagine many other, media outlets are, and I haven't gotten a response yet. What Dominion is claiming is that, Dominion is the lead partner in the pipeline along with Duke Energy. They're claiming that this statement only applies to certain defined areas along the route. Now, we don't know, because a lot of these locations where the species exist are privileged, FERC doesn't reveal, for a variety of reasons, exactly where they are. It's unclear which parts of the route this affects and which one it doesn't. The pipeline opponents would argue that, because of the nature of the consultation process under the Endangered Species Act, this invalidates that consultation. They'll have to start a new consultation, and that this should pause the project.
All right. And this decision came as kind of a surprise, didn't it?
Well, I don't know. It's the people that I've talked to here in Virginia, and my coverage has mostly been focused on Virginia, thought that their best shot at defeating this project or halting it was the State Water Control Board here in Virginia, because unlike other states that have to issue water quality certifications for this project, Virginia's was subject to a board vote, a citizen board. And they acted in December, and that's a whole other kettle of fish in what they did. But this thing has been challenged at so many different venues, at so many different levels of approval I didn't see this coming, put it that way, and maybe that's on me.
Well,
but also the people that I talked to, weren't, you know, were kind of pleasantly surprised, I would say, by this decision.
As you say, it's a complicated process, a number of processes. So in this case now, what happens next?
That is a good question, and that is still, you know, very much in the air. As soon as I hear something, you know, from FERC, I will let you know. Well, I will let our readers know.
All right. We'll pick it up online and be in touch with you.
But, you know, the Fish and Wildlife Service does have avenues of appeal. I mean, they can request what's called an en banc review of the U.S. Fourth Circuit, the entire panel. They can apply for review from the Supreme Court. Those are the avenues that I'm aware of that are available to them. There may be others. It remains to be seen what they'll do. The Fish and Wildlife Service told me last night that they were looking at all their options and reviewing the decision.
Right. And and central to that is the fact that it is not the pipeline company that was sued in this case. It was the Fish and Wildlife Service. So they're the ones who are going to have to appeal this if they do. And we will stay tuned. Robert, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Robert Zullo, a reporter for the Richmond Times-Dispatch.